built fence yesterday.
Oh. So that's, you know, that's part of the model where I got. Thank you very much. That's what comes with this model.
This is standard equipment.
That's what it is. It's just standard equipment. They can't help it. That's the way they're wired up. That's the way God made them. Then the last one is Adam Dilley. Adam Dilley. This model comes equipped with a bright, shiny hood. Or a convertible top, however you want to look at it. But this model runs great and is low maintenance. Runs great, low maintenance. Just go out if a pastor or an employer or somebody, you know, you want somebody to help you. Runs great, low maintenance. That's him. Here's his warning. You ready? Sometimes the motor will not turn off. You ever have a car like that? And you're waiting, but, just be patient. Eventually, it will shut down. This model will shut. That's the warning. Is that pretty accurate on this model? Oh, yeah. All right, thank you. See, now that's standard equipment on some of the models, and I could go through the whole room here kind of telling about the models and what you're, how you're wired up. But that's standard equipment, and all I'm saying is God has given you equipment and gifts and talents that come standard with you. But you have to be willing to use them, and don't worry about what God didn't give you. And you see people that can't sing, and they say, oh, I wish God would give me a voice to sing. You know? Well, he didn't. And then you see some that don't know he didn't give them a voice to sing. It's like, oh my gosh, somebody tell them he didn't give you a voice to sing. It's not part of your equipment. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. You know, it's like, didn't come with you. It did not come standard equipment with you. You know? But then others, he gave equipment. They're up there using their equipment for Jesus Christ. And so all I'm saying is God gave you something if you'll use it. If you'll use it. And there's a warning label with all of us, you know. I started to call some of the guys and say, okay, since I'm being so open with you, you can put me up as a model. I thought, damn, Pastor, I don't have to. But David is living proof that, you know what, if you don't worry about what you have and you'll just use what you have, right, God will show you what you don't have. What you need is right there. He'll give you what you need, but you got to exercise what you have. The guys love it that they get up and teach, and gals, when I talk about my first sermon where I stood and I was nervous, and I did that all the way through the service. I was nervous, and so I guess my sinuses were running or something. I probably was hot and flush, and they recorded the stinking thing, so I'm listening to it, and I think, boy, that's my first sermon. All I remember about that sermon is, that's all I remember. But thank God I began to exercise that, and I preached again, and then you forget stuff when you sing, you forget stuff when you preach, you think, oh, I should have said this. But you just work on what God has given you, and it gets better and better and easier, and God gives you more and more anointing to do what you're called to do. But he won't if you're constantly worrying about what you don't have. And I think God didn't give you certain equipment, me certain equipment, because he knew we didn't need it. Maybe he didn't make it where you could sing, because that's all you would think about, is singing. I don't know, but he knows. So whatever equipment he gave you, if he gave you the gift of mercy, or the gift of intercessory prayer, or the gift of wisdom, or faith, or healing, whatever he gave you, just hone in on those skills and use those and quit worrying about what you don't have. But be available for what you do have. That's key. Let me know if that's the key. David didn't worry about armor, didn't worry about not having ammunition, because he just said, I'm going. And when he made the commitment, then here it comes. God supplied everything that he needed. So don't forget, you have standard equipment from the factory.
use it for the glory of God.
Number two, don't worry about who you're not. Who you're not. See, David could have said, well, you know, I'm not an officer, I'm not royalty, I'm not even an enlisted soldier. I'm not a son of a dignitary, I'm not well known by anyone. All those would have been legitimate if David would want to argue that. All of those would have been legitimate for him to argue. He could have said, I'm just a sheep rancher, I'm a musician. In fact, I went in the other day and was talking to the fellows that's going to produce my CD, and I do need your prayers. It's a lot more than they first thought. They said it's going to take a lot more money to make me sound good than they thought. I said, it's going to take that much, huh? Wow. So I do desire your prayers. But here he is, and I told him, I said, you know, a musician. David was a musician. How many remembers he used to play a harp for Saul when he was angry? And when he played, the anointing would fall, and it would soothe Saul. And so he was a talented, very talented musician to be in the king's court playing. And I have a cousin that's a bass player, very talented musician. They said, you know, he's not the best for the country flavor that you have. He said, here, we're going to get you the best ones we can get. And so I told him, I want to do this one time, and I want to do it right. And if you purchase a CD, I want you to say that's good quality. Whether I sound that great, I want the quality to be good. And so I'm going to spend the money to do it. But I told him, I said, you know, one thing I've noticed about really good musicians, they're just about worthless in any other area. You ever notice that about musicians? It's just like, that's all they're consumed with, playing. And so my cousin, that's all he does. He plays. He does some studio, and then he's got a little group, and they travel around, and he's played. One of his gigs was a birthday out at Toby Keith's ranch for his daughter, you know. So he's got some talent, but that's all he wants to focus on. But David he's a musician. He's an expert marksman. You know, he's all of these things, but you know what? He's just a sheep herder's son. He just got in off the sheep ranch. He smells like sheep. He dresses like a sheep herder. He has sheep herder accessories. He's got his staff, and he's got his little pouch over here for rocks, for hitting, you know, and striking animals. He that's who he is. That's who David is. I don't know who you are, you know. You might say, well, I'm not talented, and I'm not known, and I'm not popular, and I'm this and that. But you know what you are? You're a king's kid if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You're heir to the throne by the finished work of Jesus Christ. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus. That's who you are. So it doesn't matter who you are. Because if you're a Christian, God's determined who you are. You're going to live for eternity. You're going to rule and reign with Christ. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. So don't be intimidated when other people have this and that and all this. You know, it doesn't matter. Because you know who you are in Christ. What I've noticed about people that don't know who they are, they go to opportunities and go to different things. So, kind of like what I was talking to their graduates about that one day. And remember when I was addressing our graduates, and I said, have questions when you go to interviews. People that know who they are have questions. They do. Because they know that they're on this journey, and they know that they're headed somewhere. And if what you're wanting them to do doesn't fit on their path, then they'll just look at you and say, well, no, thank you. Thanks for the offer, but no, thank you. Because they know who they are, and they know where they're headed for Christ. That's why Jesus wouldn't deal with this lady's daughter until she really, that was demon-possessed, until she really just urged him and urged him and urged him. And through her faith, he finally turned aside, because he knew who he was. I'm the Son of God. I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. That's who I am. I'm going to the cross. That's who I am. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Lamb of God that's come to redeem the world of sins. That's who I am. That's what kept him so focused. So know who you are in Christ. And don't worry about who you're not. some kids in peer pressure, you talk about peer pressure. Peer pressure won't come on you if you'll know who you are in Christ. If you will know who you are in Christ. If you'll say, I am the righteousness of Christ through the finished work of Jesus Christ. When somebody comes up and tempts you with lust or this or that, you'll know that doesn't fit who I am. So that doesn't tempt me. I'm going right on down the road for Jesus. But if you don't settle who you are, all kinds of temptations will be attracted to you. Settle who you are in Christ. If you determine you are the righteousness of Christ, or God in Christ Jesus, then when temptation comes, you're ready and you're equipped. But you better determine who you are, and you better settle that, because how many knows temptation will come knocking? It always is going to come knocking. One thing the devil is good at, he's persistent, isn't he? He's just going to knock and knock and knock, you know. Sometimes we call it stretching the truth to make us look better because we don't know who we are in Christ. Psalms 107 and 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Everybody that's redeemed in here say so. So you know who you are, don't you? You've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So when temptation comes to you and you know who you are, you're the redeemed of Christ, you say, so? And you just resist the devil and walk off. So? Somebody at school offers you some kind of drug. This is a little pill, just kind of getting you a little bit high. So, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. So? And just walk off. Because you know who you are in Christ. You don't have to get high with drugs. You get high on Jesus. People ask you all the time, don't they? What's up? I always tell them. You know why I tell them what's up? Jesus, he is high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. And that's who I'm following. So someday I'll be high and lifted up with him through the grace and power of Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I came across a piece the other day. I don't remember who gave this to me. It says, but it talks about talking about who people are. Listen to this. It says, back in the 50s, there was a well-known radio host, comedian, songwriter in Hollywood named Russ Hamblin, who was noted for his drinking and womanizing and partying, etc. One of those bigger hits at the time was, I won't go hunting with you, Jake, but I'll go chasing women. Anybody remember that song? Come on, don't you guys remember that song? I won't go hunting with you, Jake, but I'll go chase the women. There you go. I know, it's all in the blood. It is all in the blood. Don't bring it up. Because that was pretty, you know, risque song. It says, along came a young preacher holding a tent revival. Hamblin had him on his radio show, presumably to poke fun at him and to gather more material. Since Hamblin showed up at one of those revival meetings, early in the service the preacher announced, there's one man in this audience who is a big fake. There were probably others who thought the same thing, but Hamblin was convinced that he was the one the preacher was talking about. Some call that conviction. But he was having none of that. Still, the words continued to haunt him until a couple of nights later he showed up drunk at the preacher's hotel door around 2 a.m., demanding that the preacher pray for him, but the preacher refused, saying, this is between you and God, and I'm not going to get in the middle of it. I like that, don't you? Isn't that cool? Just wrestle with it, big boy. You know, we always want to fix people. I mean, no, just let them wrestle with God for a while. But we want to just fix them. We just jump in. I thought, boy, that's wisdom. I didn't even remember that. He said, but he did invite Russ in, and they talked till about 5 a.m., at which point Russ dropped to his knees with tears in his eyes and cried out to God. But that is not the end of the story. Russ quit drinking, quit chasing women, quit everything that was fun, and began to lose favor with Hollywood crowd. He was ultimately fired by the radio station when he refused to accept a beer company as a sponsor. Hard times were upon him. He tried writing a couple of Christian songs, but the only one that had much success was This Old House. Remember that song? It said it was written for his friend Rosemary Clooney. As he continued to struggle, an old friend named John took him aside and told him, said, all your troubles didn't start until you got this religion, and asked if it was worth it all. Ever had any friends like that? Russ answered him simply, yes. Then his friend said, Well, you liked your booze so much, don't you even miss it? But his answer was no. John then said, I don't understand how you could give it all up so easily. Russ responded, his response was, it's no big secret. All things are possible with God. To this, John said, that's a catchy phrase. You should write a song about that. As they say, the rest is history. The song Russ wrote, it is no secret. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. Says, by the way, the friend was John Wayne. And the young preacher who refused to pray for Russ was Billy Graham. Didn't matter to Russ who they were, did it? They were just people. One of them was trying to pull him back and one of them was trying to pull him in. What had to matter was who Russ was. And he found who he was and God blessed him. It is no secret. Probably everybody in the Christian world knows that song. And there it was. Wonder how many people walked by It Is No Secret that God wanted to give to. And he got it because he's the one that said yes to the Lord. Huh? I want to give you one more and we'll close. Don't worry about what you don't have. Don't worry about who you are and don't worry about where you come from. You know what? The devil can use that, can he? You know, it really doesn't matter, does it, where you're from? Maybe, you know, David could have said, man, I'm just off of a sheep herder's ranch. That's all I am. That's all I know is protecting and herding sheep. That's all I know. That's where I come from. And where did you come from? Some of you maybe come from very humble beginnings. Who cares? Well, I grew up in an apartment. I grew up in a trailer. Well, I grew up in a big house. I grew up in... Does it really matter? That's what I love about serving Jesus. The ground is level at Calvary. We come, and I mean the ground is level. Come, you can be a billionaire or a dollar-aire. I mean, dollar-aires we got in the building, yeah. Just come on in to the cross. It's all the same. Doesn't matter to Jesus. Because he said to the rich man, he said, you know what your problem is? Riches has got a hold on you. You need to sell that stuff, get away from it, and come and follow me and find life. And the guy went off shaking his head because he couldn't depart with his riches. So it really doesn't matter where you're from. Guess where I grew up? I grew up south of Stratford, north of Sulphur, in a two-bedroom block house. There were seven of us kids, and I think people today say, seven kids in two bedrooms? How did you do it? Very well, thank you. It messed me up so bad I became a preacher. Now, all seven of us kids weren't home at the same time, but I think there was Cecile Glenn and Sue and Phyllis Lynn and myself, and then Jeffrey came along, so there was at least five of us at one time. Where did y'all sleep? In our bed? With other brothers? And the girls slept with other sisters? Where did you come from? I saw a man on national television preaching for Jerry Falwell one day that was raised under a bridge. His mom had died and then his dad and then he grew up with his granny until he was about 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever, just elementary school, maybe junior high, and his granny died and he didn't want to go, and so he raised himself under a bridge. I don't know how he survived. I didn't catch the whole story, but that was his story. And then he's preaching on national television. And then we're all thinking, well, if I'd have just had better parents, if I'd have had money, or if I'd have had this. And you know, I get tickled at kids because when kids get older, you know, sometimes you think they don't appreciate where they come from because you're driving up in your old jalopy to school. You ever had them say, just drop me off down here, Mom? Really, you guys should never do that. But it shows where you are right now, you know. It's that pride inside of you. But just know they love you. And then there's dads, the cool dads that I love, when you're driving up your old jalopy and they say, let me off here, Dad, let me off here. No, I want to take you right up front. And they pull right up front. and rev the old car up. Smoke boils out. And then as you're getting out, they say, I love you, Spencer. Give me a kiss. See them, buddy. I love those kind of parents. That's the kind of parent I am. Just got to get them back, you know. Loosen them up a little bit. Come on. They're going to come over to your house. They'll know what you got anyway. They know where you're from. I don't know about you, but I appreciate where I'm from. I grew up on 160 acres in a little block house. And just as happy as I could be. Everybody says, yeah, you had an Opie Taylor life. And that's probably pretty close to true. Fishing and hunting and raised with horses and pigs and cows and dogs, hunting dogs and chickens and guineas. And that's just where I grew up. That's where I'm from. Where are you from? God knew where you needed to be. He knew David needed to be out on a sheep pen out here practicing with a slingshot because he had something for him to do. And the question is, what are you doing out here, and what has God put in you, and what do you have, and what are you doing with it so he can prepare you for where you're going? Because what really matters is not where you're from. What really matters to God is where are you going? How many knows I'm going somewhere for Jesus? Are you? How many says I'm going places for Jesus Christ? He's got something for me to do. There you go. And that's what really matters. You look at your past and look where you're from and you say, thank God for all the good things and for all the hardship. You say, thank God for the lessons. You know, we make fun sometimes of our older generation, our seniors, because they can really pinch a penny. I've seen them take plastic bags and the sandwich bag and wash it out and put it up on the cabinet and reuse a thing. And like, wow, what are they doing that for? It's because when they grew up, there weren't any sandwich bags. And if you wanted one, you better save it. If you got one and you want one tomorrow, you better save it because that's it. You got a sandwich bag. You know what taught them that? It's called depression. It's where they were from. And you know why we'll have resources on this earth a little longer than we would have had? It's because of people like them. That's the gift they leave us. For all of us that grew up not knowing that, we'll use it and toss it. My mother, when you go to her house and we have a holiday, how many know you get the little plastic Solo cups and the red and yellow and stuff, and we just drink ours and we toss it in the trash. My mother doesn't. Hey, you can wash that.
We do.
Well, you don't want me to dig it out of the trash, do you? No, just don't throw it again, you know. But that's where they learned it. That's where they're from. My dad used to say, you know what, I can remember when I was growing up, my dad said, we got an orange for Christmas or apple, and that was a good gift. I thought, wow, something I go to the fridge and just get out and start eating and maybe eat all of it, maybe don't, you know, and that was a gift to them. But if you're raising seven kids, and you're doing a pretty good job of it, that really helps. If you know how to save and you know what to appreciate. And all I'm saying is, if you look back at your past and where you're from, God allowed you to go through some things to teach you something that you need to know today. David needed to know today that, you know what, if you'll take care of these sheep and if you'll protect them like a king, I'll put you over people. But if you're gonna run off every time the bear comes to get your sheep or something, you know, put yourself in David's place and you look over and here goes a bear with one sheep, you think, well, it's just one little sheep. And he needs to eat too. And you know, knowing all the time you're just saying, I'm not confronting him. Same way at class. You know, if you let a bully come up and just bully over you and you just kind of, you know, shrug it off, well, you know. Now, I'm not telling you to fight somebody, but I'm telling you to stand up for what you believe is right. You know, maybe everybody else will laugh at a filthy joke, but that's not you. You don't have to be rude. You just see that's not funny to you, you know, that sort of thing. Because of where you come from. I come from the cross of Jesus Christ. where I knelt and asked him to forgive me of my sins, and I repented and I turned from my sins. That's where I come from. How about you? So wherever you came from, there were some lessons that God said, I want you to learn. I look back and there's such Lucy. She came from China. She grew up and she knows a lot of things about that area. I have no clue. But God knew she'd be sitting here and she'd be married to Steve and she would be where she's at today. And so he gave her something way over in China that will help her today to be a blessing where she is in America. Never despise where you come from. And maybe it came from an abusive situation. I know I've seen people that's come from an abusive situation. They'll take what they've learned and what they've worked through, and then they'll be sitting in an area where they're helping people all around that's in an abusive situation. And they can look them in the eye and say, I know where you come from. That's where I came from. And let me tell you how I got past it. People that's been abused and hurt. One of the ladies in our congregation talks about having an abusive husband, and I've seen her reach out to other women in our congregation that's had abusive husbands and say, you know what, I know what you're going through. And let me tell you some do's and don'ts. See, God knew that she would be a blessing to other ladies. So whatever you're going through, this is where you're coming from, but God is using that. One of the greatest examples you remember is Joseph. Young Joseph that was favored by his dad. Made him a coat of many colors, and his brothers hated him, and then they lied, and they sold him, and they went and wound up at Potiphar's house, and then he finally made his way up to the top there, and all of a sudden he's lied on again, and then he goes to prison, and he's in prison for 2 or 3 years, and he's forgotten as he interprets a dream, but one day, because the man was going to have favor with the king, he mentions Joseph before the king. All that was training for Joseph. He's learning how to manage a home. He's learning how to manage a prison complex so he can learn how to manage a country. Now that wouldn't have been Joseph's choice, I'm sure, of where to come from. But that's the training that God gave him. That's where he come from. And God used that. And I love what Rick Warren says. God will never, ever waste a bad experience. He'll turn it around. How many is familiar with all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose? So that it's working together. Wherever you come from, God's got a plan for you. He knew everything you had to face, every problem, every blessing, and He knows where you're headed. And your past, He's going to tie it in to make you a blessing in your future. So never despise where you come from. If you do, you'll never be able to plan out a life strategy that's effective. Because you always have these excuses. And why I can't be what God called me to be. You can be what God called you to be. It's ordained for you to be. So focus on what you have. Focus on who you are in Christ. And focus on where you're headed. And let's have a wonderful journey together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for David and so many valuable lessons that you've taught us through this young man. Lord, he wasn't intimidated because he knew who he was in Christ. He wasn't afraid because he knew where he was headed. You had ordained him as king. You had put all the equipment that he needed when you created him in David to be a king. You put the courage and the care and the love to rule and reign as a successful king. God, he wasn't perfect. He fell and stumbled and bumbled at times. But you said, this is a man after my own heart. Because he refused to wallow in the past and what he didn't have and where he was raised and all these sort of things. He looked to the future. He looked to God. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. So he looked for the help of the Holy Spirit and the Father. So help us to focus on what we have, what you give us, the gifts and talent that you placed inside of us. Maybe it's to run a city. Maybe it's to run a company. Maybe it's to be a great follower and supporter.
Maybe it's to do crafts with our hand. You put the craftsmanship in us to do buildings and engineering. And maybe you give us a counselor's heart that we can counsel and console and reach out to the hearts of men and women and minister to their needs and bring them the keys and the truths of God's Word. And speaking the truth in love, we bring such healing and hope and help. But remind us, Lord, that we've all come equipped with standard equipment. And the reason you gave us this equipment and created us this way is so we could use it for your glory and your honor and make a difference in the kingdom, a significant difference in the kingdom. So help us to be faithful like David was. So step past the fear and past the excuses and to live a life that's a blessing. And help us to be a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name.